It's Monday, Mikey Robbins with me, and lots on the show today, Mikey.
Guy, mate, yeah, heaps on the show today.
Well, look, if you're a big fan of schoolies and you don't have the time to make it there yourself because you're too old and creepy and it make you feel incredibly awkward because you look like some sort of creepo.
Why are you staring at me while you're saying that?
Because I'm trying to look as if... Because I don't have a mirror. That's the answer to that. Well, Crystal will be reviewing and detailing Schoolies Week for us in the show. We'll also have a review from Chopper, and I'll be telling you how you can get yourself to Adventure Island this Friday.
This Friday?
Yeah, as we see-do our way to Adventure Island on Friday. And we'll also be discussing the Australian cricket team. Who are they? Great question.
Never heard of them.
Try and answer. I think one guy's called Greg. The rest I've got, we'll find out who they are. We'll be discussing that. But up next, a big story about muesli bars. Did you have a good weekend, Mike? It was a quiet weekend.
Very, very quiet weekend. We just sort of mooched around the house, did a bit of cooking.
I had a very quiet weekend myself, and it seemed as though, to all intents and purposes, quiet everywhere. You know, no horrific news stories for a change.
I think it's been such a big year. Everyone's sort of winding down.
And it wasn't kind of nice to have a weekend where there's no horrific news of any kind.
Yeah.
But they said the problem is that then you've got newsrooms that just go, well, what are we going to talk about? And they scrambled.
See, I've maintained this for years. There's no reason why the news has to run an hour. If you don't have anything, do it in 15 minutes.
Absolutely. Just go, yeah. It's quiet night, fellas.
Yeah.
All right, take it easy. There you go.
Here's some cartoons.
Sell out of your mum for me. Yeah. Out of here. All right, that's Rives, but whatever. I just borrowed it. The interesting thing is that in Brisbane, they just went, well, no, if we're running on empty, right, let's go to the bottom of the tank and find a news story and just beat it up.
Well, how many of us really take notice of use-by dates when it comes to snacks? Brisbane mother Lisa Sargent was spring cleaning and tried on a ski jacket she hadn't worn in 25 years.
What?
And I looked down and suddenly I saw the outline of a muesli bar.
Dum-dum.
The family gathered for the reveal of the quarter of a century old bar.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Is that what it's meant to look like?
No, it's not meant to look like that.
Husband Jonathan ate it and at last reports was doing fine.
He ate it.
I mean, seriously, you can imagine someone running into the editorial room. Hold everything.
Yep.
Hold everything.
Don't, Gary, put down that ISIS story. 25-year-old Uncle Toby's bar.
Bang.
Old school, the raisins and cinnamon. Yes.
Oh, right. Then I saw the silhouette of it in the pocket.
Just incredible. I love how it's, and that story went for 19 minutes on the news last night. So, obviously, a bit of a slow news day. Interesting, though, that, you know, that old and this had still went, oh, I'll eat that. I'll give that a crack.
Or maybe muesli bars are like fine Bordeaux. You should lay them down for a couple of years.
Just hope that they age well.
Oh, yes. Oh, they'll
no.
be well. 1985.
No.
Very good.
You know what? I reckon a muesli bar's expiration date is a roughly 11 minutes after it comes off the production line.
Yeah.
And then you just go, no, I'm over you.
Yeah, no.
It's a muesli bar.
Muesli
bars don't get any better.
I actually find the expiration date of a muesli bar is halfway through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I should have bought a chocolate.
Protein ball of the 80s, that's what I say.
Yeah.
No, just coin that. Feel free to use it, guys.
Are you a big one for checking out expiry dates?
Here's the thing. I like to live life on the edge. So if I see an expiry date, particularly with dairy, I just go, yeah, but you don't mean it.
No.
You say the 21st, yeah, but you don't mean it. What you mean is the 29th. Let's take this punnet of cream and let's see. No, yeah, cream.
Yeah,
big myth on that one.
Yeah, no,
unless it's got fur, it's all right to go.
And you know what lasts three times longer than cream? Sour cream.
Damn right. Yeah, it was sour to begin with.
It's
exactly, getting more value.
Seriously, you have a stroganoff in winter, you can still be using that cream come Christmas time.
Sour cream? Before you whack that on the nachos, just remember, if it is crook, it's doing you more of a favour. No?
Who knows?
Here's something now. This is a tiny hidden shame. When I moved out of my old place, and I'd lived there for years, I was cleaning out the fridge and the freezer, as you got to do. Went behind the back of one of the ice trays in the freezer and, old McSnickers bar there just hiding behind the bloody ice tray.
There you go.
Now, what happened is I'd bought the Snickers bar on a particularly warm day and it had got a bit melty in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, well, I'm just going to fix you up, put you in the freezer. Obviously, gone off and had a couple of drinks or something like that. Completely forgot about it. Found it when I was moving out and I thought, oh, that's, I actually remember that. I'll have a look at that. And I looked at the expiration date and it was 19 months. past its best.
How did Mr. Snickers go down?
Well, here's the thing. I had to make the decision. I went, hang on a second. So you're now closer to 2 years than you are a year. A year, that's a Snickers bar. Snickers bar's got all the time.
What's the problem with that?
Exactly. I mean, you know, I'm not having to work, rest, and play today. I'm just going to just want something packed full of nuts.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I thought 19 months, that's but it's been in the freezer. It's practically cryogenic.
Yeah.
It's Walt Disney's head in there.
Yeah.
And ate it.
And she went down all right?
No, it was pretty awful, I've got to be honest. It tasted really weird and old and frozen and a bit dusty and had this strange kind of chemical aftertaste. Don't eat things that are too old. Having said that, a 19-month-old Snickers bar passed its use-by date. Would I eat it again? Of course I would. It's a Snickers bar.
A couple of years ago, Laura had to go to Melbourne and I thought, oh, look, I'll make myself some dinner. And then was going through the fridge. I went, I don't remember buying lamb shanks. Oh, what could go wrong with that?
Lamb shanks.
Yeah, and what could go wrong with lamb shanks that was in butcher's paper without a use-by date on it? I cooked them up. I did not leave the bathroom for 48 hours. I was throwing out meals I had in the 80s.
Lamb shanks.
No, no, shanks for the memories.
No. I trust Snickers. I trust that lamb shanks. 133353. Let's kick off the phone today, guys. What's the oldest thing that you have eaten? And I'm talking about the oldest thing that has eaten past its expiry date.
And we're talking about food.
Yes, we are. Very much so. I've been in enough trouble in the last week making ageist jokes, so let's not push that. 133353, what's the oldest thing you've eaten, either deliberately or accidentally, past its use-by date?
Merrick's callers are unbelievably loyal.
Jaden, this weekend, go out and electrocute your nuts and come back and tell us how it is next week.
Will do.
Merrick in Australia, Triple M.
Still waiting on that report. It's Monday. Still got a little bit more on the show, so we'll just see how that nut electrocuting business goes. We'll get back to you on that one. But right now, Michael Robbins and I are taking your calls on 133353, talking about the oldest thing that you've eaten. A family in Queensland found a 25-year-old muesli bar and went,
why not?
Let's give it a crack.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, it was crap 25 years ago. Maybe it's less crap now. Wait and see. They took it to the edge, and they're probably going to be sick as a result. Got Dave on the line, though. Dave, what's the oldest thing that you've eaten?
That was a six-year-old biscuit off an aeroplane, like, you know, the shortbread one.
Oh, yeah.
But they give it on a plane in a plastic wrap. I was on my way to a mate's house. I had a few too much to drink, so I thought, oh, yeah, this will sober me up. This will be good. So I've taken a bite into that. And, yeah, it just exploded in my mouth into dust, and then I was on the side of the road coughing like a spastic. Oh. Couldn't breathe properly. Yeah, it looked real good.
Oh. Yeah. See, shortbread is not the tonic for a heavy night of drinking. No, never see, has been.
See, mate, you've been better off gargling some sand.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing.
I can imagine that going to that powdery dust as well. I think I've experienced something similar to that. Hello, Cuddles.
How you going?
Really good, mate. We're talking about things that you've eaten well past their expiration date.
Yeah, my brother lives in the States, and when I went for his wedding in 98, there was a chain of Buffalo Wild Wing joints, which are still an institution in my family, and you can buy the bottles of sauce to take home. Now, we went back for another trip some 10 years later and bought a whole new batch of sauce, and the sauces were all sitting in the cupboard, obviously. I only used them on, you know, Buffalo Wing Sunday.
Yeah.
We later discovered after when we were cleaning up that one of the bottles was from the 1998 trip.
Oh, wow.
And it was still good, mate? Was it still good?
Well, that's the funny thing is they really are quite hot sauces, so they come out that way, if you know what I mean, regardless.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the levels of burning. It's just, you know.
Thing of fire type thing, 4 a.m., yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's, you're expecting a reaction. You get that reaction. You're not surprised by that reaction. You know,
in fact, that was what I was looking for.
Sauces are a really big one for expiration, aren't they?
I'll just face it. We all know that Tabasco sauce lasts a million years.
Yeah, yeah. Tabasco sauce is all right.
I mean, you know, seriously, Tabasco sauce, yeah, put it down, go away, come back. You know, 10,000 years later, it's still going to be good.
It's had kids. It's moved on. It's family. It's generational, but it's still edible. Got Donna. Hello, Donna.
Oh, hello.
How you doing? All right. What have you eaten that's well past this expiration date?
Well, I took my son last year down to my parents at Ocean Grove, and my youngest son, he doesn't like onions or anything spicy, so whatever we cooked up, nachos or something, had both in it.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, look, I'll go and find you something to eat. So I went into the deep freeze at my parents' place. They got one of those big freestanding ones. So right down the bottom, found these chicken burgers. Didn't think to even look at the expiry date. Just put them in the oven. And he ate them. And when he looked at it, he looked at the box. He said, "Oh, it's a bit dry." And it was the expiry date was 2000.
Donna. So the chicken burgers were actually older than your son.
Yes. They were the same year as my older son. His older brother was born.
Oh my God, Donna! 15-year-old chicken burger.
I should be reported to child protection services, I think.
Here's the thing, Donna. No, let's put that to one side. I don't know whether or not you should actually write a letter of thank you to the people who make that chicken burger, because the fact that you can eat a chicken burger 15 years later and not die, that means that somebody's doing their job properly. But seriously?
I mean, that is if the company still exists.
So many questions. We've got to move on, though. I've got to get to Ray. Hello, Ray.
G'day. How you doing?
All right, mate. Really, really good. We're talking about things that you've eaten well past their expiration date.
40 years.
What?
40?
40 years.
What's 40 years, Ray?
Corned beef, or bully beef, as some people call it, and biscuits.
Was it one of the old tin ones?
Yeah, from the Second World War. We were about 15-year-old in the Army cadets, and we had a heap of these things, and one of the older fellas says, "Who dares to eat it?" And I put my hand up, then we all tucked into it. It wasn't too bad, neither.
Right, you should see my face. Mate, look.
It was as fresh as the day it went into the can, I tell you. It was fresh. The biscuits were a bit dodgy,
yeah,
but the meat was all right.
It was 40 years old from the war.
From the Second World War.
It wouldn't matter if it was from the First World War, mate. You go that far back, it's just semantics. Then a 40-year-old serve of tinned meat.
Yeah.
And you ate it voluntarily.
Yeah, well, I got dead, so, you know,
mate, if you got dead, yeah. I mean, why would you not?
I was 15. Who dares to do this? I'll do it.
I'll do it.
I'll risk my life.
Who wants to eat the beef that beat Hitler? I'll have that.
At last, the US election is over.
Are we losing our identity to America, Clinton?
Bloody oath we are.
Then why'd you call yourself Clinton?
Merrick and Australia. Triple M.
Mikey Robinson this afternoon.
Ah, touche, Merrick. Touche.
And what good timing, too, because this week's review from Chopper is about anything but Donald Trump.
I could deal with a break from the old crazy twisty.
Yes, hello Australia, it's Chopper here. And this week I'm talking about anything except Donald Trump. Since last Wednesday, the only thing anyone's been talking about is bloody Donald Trump. In fact, I can't remember what it's like to talk about something that isn't Donald Trump. Sure, when a man who looks like chewing gum that's been left in a tanning bed too long and acts like a drunk 12-year-old gets voted into the White House, it's big news. At this point, everything that's being said has either been said before or is completely bloody unsurprising, and I'm already over it. I was in an Uber, the driver started talking about Trump, I asked him to pull over, got out and gave him 0 stars, because Trump. Then I went to get some lunch, and the people sitting next to me at lunch were talking about Trump. I ordered some soup and asked for it to come out extra hot. Then when the soup came out, I threw it in their faces, and after they stopped screaming, they asked me why I threw burning hot soup in their face, and I said, because for the 45 seconds you were screaming in agony, you weren't talking about Trump, and I'm just over it. I got a market research call on my phone, and I'd usually hang up and just tell people to bloody go and get stuffed. But this time I said, will we be talking about Trump? And the lady said, no, it's going to be a 55-minute survey about pet insurance. And I said, that sounds horrible, but at least it's not about Trump. I turned on the TV and everyone was bloody talking about Trump, except SBS, who was playing a French movie about a pubescent boy who gets turned into a wheel of cheese by a mysterious travelling vagabond named Gustave. And while the boy is initially sad to be a sentient cheese, he eventually finds meaning in his new life when he has to sacrifice himself so his parents can eat during a famine. And while Le Vagabond et le Garçon devenu fromage was 3 hours long, subtitled black and white, and was mostly close-up footage of a wheel of brie, at least it wasn't about Trump. After listening to him talk and hearing about him on the news for the last 12 months, I'm just over it. Talking about something, anything other than Trump, is like taking a break from eating broken glass by eating a huge ball of salty toe jam. But hey, a change is as good as a holiday, so I give it 3 stars. I also give the film Le Vagabond et le Garçon devenu fromage 3 stars, because despite its excessive runtime, it is a fascinating exploration of alienation and sacrifice told through the eyes of cheese.
Merrick's giving you a pre-holiday holiday.
Are you ready for summer?
Merrick and Australia's Adventure Island. Thanks to Sea-Doo. Triple M.
Mikey, as you know, the idea behind this is that sometimes Christmas holidays, particularly with the family, can be a bit of a punish. A little bit. To ensure that some people have a great holiday period, we're going to have a pre-holiday holiday to make certain that that's just ticked. That box of having a great summer, ticked, before you even get on the road with your family or do whatever you're doing. It's a great idea. And some of the great things I'm going to be doing on Adventure Island on Friday, Mikey.
Yeah, what are you lined up, mate?
I'm going to take a class in shark feeding.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know how to feed sharks.
Well, I think that's just called swimming.
Yeah, get in there. Get amongst it.
Just get in there. They'll have a crack.
Absolutely.
They'll figure it out.
And we're going to ride Sea-Doos, of course.
Cool.
It's going to be great fun. And then we've got a cover band. So it's a party with a cover band.
Oh, superb.
Yeah. Cover bands. They play the hits.
Yeah.
Can't lose. So that's all sorted. So I've just been kind of ringing around and letting people know. And I'm not going to lie. For me, it's pretty awesome. It feels like, it's like, you know, when you know that you're a little bit too young to drive a Dodgem car, but all of a sudden dad's just like, yeah, you can have a go. And all of a sudden you go, I'm driving a Dodgem car.
Yeah.
And you're stacking it into stuff. That's me when I ring people who have won a competition.
And see, what also happens too is about, for me as a young kid, 2 minutes after that, the attendant with the cigarette and the ponytail standing behind you with his hand on the steering wheel going, you're useless, son.
Well, there was nobody. Oh, no, there was. Liam was standing behind me guiding the conversation. But I rang another contestant today who's going to be coming with us to Adventure Island.
Hello, Aiden speaking.
Aiden, it's Mezzo.
Mezzo, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. How you doing?
I'm doing really well.
Yeah, are you busy on Friday?
Oh, I could probably make a couple of hours.
Boom! Let's go to Adventure Island.
That's awesome, mate. Awesome.
Mate, rapt to have you come along. You can bring a friend of yours. Have you got somebody in mind you want to come along with us?
Oh, I'm tossing it around at the moment, so I'll have to think about that.
Okay, look, what you're doing in the car in your personal time is your own business, mate. I just wanted to know if you wanted to bring a friend. Aiden, tell me why you need a pre-holiday holiday. What did you have planned for summer?
Oh, mate, my wife has booked us a lovely holiday to Dubbo Zoo.
Oh, yeah.
And but my kids don't handle the travel very well.
Oh.
So it's going to be a lot of chucking up.
How long are you going to stay there for?
She's booked it for 5 days.
No, that's too long. It's one. It's one day.
You know what we could do in Dubbo for the other four?
I mean, it depends on how long you want to spend in jail. I'll see you on Friday, mate. Get yourself ready to go and find yourself a friend to come with us.
Awesome news. Cheers, Mez. Will do.
Good on you, champ. See you then. And you can go to our website and have a look at the win page for the details at triplem.com.au. Big thanks to Sea-Doo because we'll be riding the new Sea-Doo Spark around there on Friday. But where you can't ride them is Dubbo. Have you ever been to Dubbo, Mikey?
Yeah. Actually, one thing you can do in Dubbo is at 3 o'clock every afternoon, check out the pageantry of the changing of the bus drivers. that's a magic event if you get down to the Dubbo bus exchange.
But make sure you book early.
Hell yeah.
Australian cricket is in disarray, but Merrick has the answer.
You know, if I was looking at the way the Australian team has been performing at the moment, I was to give them one piece of advice, it would be better at it.
Merrick and Australia, Triple M.
Wow, what ironic timing. Mikey Robbins with me this afternoon, and that's what we're going to be talking about now. Some big changes for the third test.
Massive changes. I can't remember this many changes in such a short period of time.
There's six new ins, and there's four caps that have been handed out to first-time players. It's unprecedented. Well, I don't know if it's unprecedented. I'd have to go right back into history, and I'm not going to go back past last week.
Yeah, fair enough.
But some of the new ins. So these are, you know, young blokes getting a chance to play for Australia. Jackson Bird, yeah. Peter Handscomb, Nick Maddison, Matt Renshaw, Chad Sayers, and Matthew Wade. I believe, too, we've actually got some Australian players in that lineup as well. I'll try to find out who they are. It's a joke.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong, too. Chad Sayers is 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. He's about 14 years old.
Yeah. We've recruited him from one of the states. I can't remember which state he's from. Oh, that's right. State of the UK.
It's amazing, too. We actually have a cricket squad where half probably don't shave.
Yeah.
Or regularly.
Like, you look at the team for the third test, and you've got Steve Smith, Dave Warner, we know, Usman Khawaja, of course, Nathan Lyon, Mitchell Stark, and then all these other guys just go, who's that guy? I don't know who that guy is. There'll be so much discussion around who these guys are as they head out to bat or to bowl in what is a massive pressure test for everyone, except for South Africa.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, they've got everything. They're now sponsored by Mentos.
In fact, you know they should do for the Australian team. You know, like when you go for a conference, you get that sticker, "Hello, my name is Merrick." they should all be given one of them as they come out.
"Oh, my name's Josh Hazlewood. Do we really want to play cricket?"
Hey, look, here's another little hint too, boys. It's the red thing. Try and hit it with the bat.
Yeah, that's really the trick, is making some runs.
Yeah.
Now, look, these guys, some of the newly capped players that I just mentioned before, they're coming out for the first time. They're going to get the hats. They're going to be inducted into Australian cricket history.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'll be instructed on, I suppose, the expectations of Australian cricket. And, of course, they do that with a video when they're inducted.
"Hello. If you're watching this, then congratulations. You've just been capped as a representative of the Australian cricket team. Firstly, if you've been selected as a batsman and are not directly related to a selector, good on you. Now, when you get to the crease, we strongly recommend hitting the ball and running like Herb Elliott. In some cases, this may be in total contradiction to your current strategy, but trust me, it's the way to make runs. If you're a wicketkeeper, you're already on the right path to being an Australian cricketer. Keep your head down and hope no one sees you. And finally, if you're a bowler, it's pertinent to know that you will never be as good as Lily or Warne. But for f***'s sake, at least try. Okay, jolly good luck now."
Time for this.
Australia has the big pineapple, the big banana, and now, thanks to Triple M, it's got the big question. The only difference is you don't have to spend 6 hours in the car to get to the big question.
Last year, Australians lost $17.5 billion playing or gambling, but specifically playing pokies.
And that works out just under $1,000 per adult, $949.
As a nation, $17.5 billion. Do we even realise how many second-rate submarines we could build for that?
One and a half.
That's one and a half slightly operational submarines we could have had.
We
spent it instead mainly pouring it into the poker. So out of that $17.5 billion, a little over half of it is straight down the old school one-arm bandits, as they used to be known, the pokies.
Yeah.
So lots, you know, then obviously you've got losses in casinos, in sports gambling and everything else. But the pokies are the ones that people refer to quite commonly as addictive, as a vice almost, that is similar to the way people become addicted to drugs.
No interest in them. I have, you know, it's weird. I have pretty much I've in some stage of my life, I've had a crack at all the major vices, but gambling just doesn't exist. And I'll tell you why. Because my father's father, my grandfather, was a mug punter. Absolute. I came home from school one day when I was about 8 years of age. I don't think I've ever told you this story. All my clothes were on the floor. While I was at school, he'd sold my wardrobe.
Wow.
Yeah, he
was. That's a problem gambler.
My grandfather had a far, as I used to call him. He had big problems. So my dad was very anti-gambling. You're looking at a bloke who spent 10 days in Las Vegas and put $20 through a poker machine, and that was it.
Wow.
I'll play the occasional game of cards with mates.
Yeah, see, look, I'm to be completely honest, I don't really have any interest in playing pokies. Have I? Yeah, sure.
Oh,
do I have a preference? Sure. Queen of the Nile. Whatever. Let's move on. But the point is, I'm a punter. I like to punt on footy.
I know you do. Yeah.
And I, you know, I wouldn't say that I gamble a lot, but yeah, I'm a punter. Like a lot of people listening now, I like to have a bet, have a punt on the footy or something else or another sport or whatever it be, but I don't go mad for it. But the thing is that when you have a punt on football, and I'm certainly not saying one's better than the other, but there is a very clear distinction between punting on football, where you've got maybe two teams and there's one of two outcomes, versus poker machines, which are designed, absolutely designed, to trigger certain reactions in your brain to release chemicals to make you feel good, to stimulate you, to keep you at the machines, and you can become trapped in it. Not everyone does, of course. Lots of people like to just go down, have a couple of taps, and then they're out. No dramas. But 60% of the losses on video gambling machines are from problem gamblers. See, 60% from problem gamblers.
See, here's the thing, too. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I imagine it's a very insidious and very subtle step between I'm gambling a bit too much to suddenly I'm addicted.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not a, I don't think that's a big jump.
And how do you know?
That's it.
I mean, what is it? Is it 2 hours in front of a game? Is it 3 hours in front of a game? They do experience, a lot of people who become addicted to, particularly to poker machines, have what they call a craving, you know, obviously very similar to drugs. They have a craving to what they call the zone. Now, the zone is the endlessly spinning reels where the world and its problems can be forgotten. It is just, it sounds so much like drug addiction.
It does, yeah.
But obviously it's not. Now, I absolutely believe wholeheartedly that gambling addiction is a real thing.
Couldn't agree with you more.
I don't know how it functions in the human brain. I don't know enough about that. But what I do believe is that it's real. But what I want to know, on 133353, do you or have you been a gambling addict? And what is it like? Like you say, Mikey, like how do you get to that point where you just sort of go, I'm an addict.
My grandfather was a very successful furrier. Had a store in Sydney, a store in Newcastle. Ended up selling dead kangaroo skins from our garage to pay for his punting.
See, it's a slippery slope with anything. The thing is with drugs, Mikey, I reckon, you know, there's that progression thing where, you know, a lot of people will start with marijuana, social marijuana use. Maybe they'll, you know, take pills or something like that and then they move on. And then, unfortunately, some people get onto really hard stuff, meth, ice, and heroin as well. But when you put a needle in your arm, you know where you're going with that.
It's not a good thing.
No, yeah. But there's no step like that. Well, I don't know if there is that step where you go from the pokers before you know it, you know, you're mainlining. I'm using, you know, rabbit ears here, where you're mainlining.
Oh.
133353. Wow. Heaps of calls coming through. Really interested to hear from you to find out what it's like being a gambling addict and how did you break the addiction? Is it truly like a drug? Fill us in. Let us know what it is about. Australia's per capita losses in gambling are amongst the highest in the world. Last year, Australians lost $17.5 billion. More than half of that were attributed to gambling machines, you know, pokies, essentially. And they've been called the crack cocaine of gambling. The machines themselves are at least in part designed to stimulate parts of the human brain and to give a feel-good sense and possible addiction. I'm not sure whether or not there's any empirical research that would suggest that that's the case, but it probably is some research out there. But we're asking you, anecdotally, on 133353, have you been a gambling addict? What's it like? How do you know when you're slipping into that?
That's the thing. You know, when do you know you've bottomed out?
Yeah, but also, too, you know, there's, I understand the chasing of losses thing. I get that. I understand how that could happen. But it's like sitting down and just kind of forming a zombie-like malaise where you're just throwing your money away. Let's get to Tim. And so many calls. Thank you so much, because I know this is a real kind of share moment. So I do appreciate people who have called through. Let's get to Tim. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Maz. How are you going?
Really good, mate. All right. You've been a gambling addict, or you're currently a gambling addict?
No, mate. I've been through it. It was about 15 years ago, mate, and I lost everything, mate. Everything. Family, the whole lot. So.
Oh, Jesus, Tim.
So mate, I've got to ask. At what point did you realise you needed to talk to someone?
Oh, mate, it was pretty much at the point where the fullest it really got to was 9:30 on payday. I'd be at the auto teller. The pubs would open at 10. I'd be waiting on the front doorstep with my whole paycheck, and then by 11 I'd be walking out dead broke.
Jeez.
Absolute dead broke. I'd be scraping from my pocket for 20-cent pieces to go up and get a dollar at the counter.
So, mate, how did you break that cycle, mate?
You just got to own up yourself, I suppose. You just got to want to get out of it yourself. You know, and that's all I did. I owned up and fronted my parents and everything else. I said, so look, this is what's happening. And ended up going through counselling. The counsellor sort of said to me, he said, well, mate, an addiction is something that'll stay with you forever. And he said, but I'll teach you how to say no. And that's pretty much what he's done. So 15 years later, I can walk straight into a pub. The machine's going to be right at the other end of the pub, and I can still hear him. Yeah. Like, I'm standing right next to him, but, you know, he's taught me how to say no, never put another cent back in.
Tim, is it more dangerous when you're drinking?
Oh, I'm not much of a drinker, Miz, so right. I really can't answer that, so, yeah.
Well, then, geez, you would have looked odd in the pub then. Oh, let's have $800 bucks in the pocket.
It's the lowest feeling when you walk out at 11 o'clock in the morning on payday and you're dead broke, so you don't know who to turn to.
That's terrible, Tim. Well, if you do need help and you're listening now, the Gambler's Helpline is 1-800-858-858. Let's get to our next call. We're talking about gambling addiction. Hello, Paul.
G'day, Miz. How are you?
Very good, mate. All right. Where are you currently with gambling addiction?
Well, I've had a problem for over 10 years, and I was just speaking to the guy when
producer?
I ran through. And,
yep.
Yeah, and I, this morning I went into AHA, which is the Australian Hotels Association in Melbourne, mm-hmm. in Little Collins Street, and I got myself self-excluded. So they took a mugshot, which you'd know about, Mez.
good on you, mate. Good on you.
Good to see you. Still got a sense of humour.
I've banned myself in like 30 pubs around where I live. So, yeah, and a good day. And, yeah, it's destroyed my life. And, yeah, look, just happy.
So, Paul, you were calling us today. You've put yourself on what is essentially a watch list for problem gamblers. And
exactly.
It's a voluntary action that you've taken.
Exactly.
So I commend you on that for starters. Well done.
Thank you.
And that's a great step. I think it's fantastic that the hotels organisation have that provision there that they can prevent people voluntarily from entering their premises. How long has your addiction been, Paul?
About 10 to 15 years. It's sent me homeless. It's broken up relationships, obviously money problems. But, yeah, mate, I don't know. I'm just feeling on a high just because I did that today.
Mate, I commend you completely for doing that. Are you also think you've to go along with that? Think you're getting some counselling?
They did offer that. If I have to embarrass myself and sneak into a pub to play the pokies and then get escorted out, well, I've got a real problem. So we'll see how this pans out, but I'm pretty confident that counselling won't be so much. More of an opportunist gambler, as in pubs around and drop in and, yeah.
Mate, look, I tell you what, our best wishes from both of us with you. Mate.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, Paul, I think it's great that you're doing that. Can I ask you, I just want a bit more detail.
Yep.
I don't want to push you, but tell me, what were you addicted to? Is there a particular game? Does it get that kind of, you know, finite that you are focusing on trying to beat a particular game like it's a nemesis? How does it work? How does that addiction in your brain work? Or is it just the desire to win?
Said before. Yeah, what you said before, Mess, the last caller, I think that's pretty true. For me, you go in and then you've got the blinkers on and you don't, your reality's gone.
Uh-huh.
And every cent I got, as the last caller said, you know, scratching around for a dollar the next day. For me, it's just, I'm mesmerised and, not a particular machine, just the thrill of it,
But it was the pokies where it was, you know, your addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Not horses, just poker machines. Yeah.
Mate, listen, thank you so much for sharing, Paul. I can hear in your voice, that obviously it's an epoch in your life. It's a turning point where, you know, you've decided to make a decision.
My total respect for making the call.
Absolutely. And if anybody needs help, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with reaching out for any, I think we've all kind of grown up a bit. We understand that it's okay to ask for help no matter what it is. 1-800-858-858 is the Gambler's Helpline. If you think that you just need somebody to talk to because you're not even sure whether or not you've got a gambling addiction, then that's a good place to start. Of course, school leavers' opportunity to go to the Gold Coast and pretend it's Vegas proper and lose their minds and a pocket full of cash as well.
I didn't have schoolies. I had woolies.
Woolies, straight to work.
2 days after the HSC, in you go, son.
Yep.
You're now a cleaner. This is a mop. Say hello to your best mate for the next 6 weeks. It's a mop.
I didn't have schoolies either. I just went away with my mates some stage after that. Schoolies wasn't as big a thing for me when I was young, but now, of course, it's like a rite of passage.
Also, too, it's a major industry these days.
Yeah, God, I wish it was around when I was young. I would have loved schoolies. I would have lost my mind.
Yeah, man, what have you been doing for the past 20-odd years since you left school?
Acting like it was schoolies?
There you go.
Yeah, fair call. Look, schoolies is a confusing thing. I'm a 43-year-old gent. I don't know what's going on there. No. I need somebody, one of the young people, who speaks the language of the young people.
You need to get to the essence of the core of the youth culture.
Yeah, best person to do that, 24-year-old nail technician from Adelaide, Crystal. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, Mezcal.
That's a tequila.
Well, you both have tiny worms, so...
Oh, yeah, fair play. Hey, it's schoolies at the moment. I wanted to get some tips.
Get a lawyer, you creep.
No, not for me. I'm not going. For school leavers.
Oh, sorry, Mercantile. Well, if you're fresh out of school, which was for me 9 years ago...
Hang on a second. You're 24, so should that be 6 years ago?
Nail technician from Adelaide? I finished school the day I turned 15.
Oh, yes. Sorry, of course, yeah.
So, if you're fresh out of school, the first thing to do is sort your accommodation. That can be a car park, a sand dune, or even an apartment, depending on your budget.
Uh-huh.
Next, pick the one drink you never want to drink again and buy heaps of it.
Huh? Why wouldn't you choose something you do like?
What, and ruin it forever? No way! Pick something like Ouzo or Southern, or even a combo of the two and drink that.
I'm still not...
Look, once you've vomited something out of your nose, you never want to drink it again. So choose something you're prepared to say goodbye to forever.
Wow. That's truly great advice, Crystal.
Yeah. And lastly, make sure if you're having sexual relations that you always use protection.
Again, such good advice.
Unless they're from like a super rich family and then totally get preggers to them. Then sit back and ka-ching, no more Mazda 121. You're driving a fancy European car now, baby, like a Volkswagen or a Skoda. Boom.
Okay, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks, Crystal. Mikey Robinson this afternoon, we do this.
Triple M's American Australia presents...
On a holiday in Fiji, we were doing a bit of fishing out on a boat and I
ended up putting the pitchfork through my foot, came in one side and went out the other.
Was I drunk? I get knocked out! Or was I a kid?
You tell us a story from either your childhood or from a big night, and we will try and guess which one it is. It's a very, very simple game. And sometimes, last week we got 3 from 3.
We had a good week last week.
It's extraordinary. Yep. See how we fare this week. 133353 is the number to call. Mikey, we'll show how it's done. You kick one off.
Okay, one of the proudest moments of my life was when I wound up in casualty with an egg cup stuck behind my teeth.
An egg cup?
Yeah, I got it in there, but I couldn't get it out.
Ooh.
Had to go to casualty.
I'm going to say kid.
Yeah, I was 5.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Apparently.
Because a drunk adult wouldn't look at an egg cup long enough to put it in their mouth.
My parents were sitting on the couch watching telly. I walked in with an egg cup sticking out the front of my face going,
Wow.
Yeah, Dad put a pillow slip over my head before he took me up to the hospital. No, I'm joking about that.
Okay, I'll return serve here, Mikey.
Yeah.
A cat. Didn't have to go to a hospital. Had a cat's head stuck in my mouth. Got it in there. Had a little bit of difficulty. Couldn't quite get the cat's head out of my mouth. But was very entertaining for my friends.
Ah, drunk.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
See, I didn't know where to go, but then...
It was only a kitten, and it wasn't in any stage was he in any pain or all that. I just put him in there real quick and just went, look at this little kitten. Oh, he's a mouthful. Bang. And all that. I went, oh, hang on a second. His head's grown a little bit more than the last time I did this. I've done this a couple of times. His head's grown. I wasn't pretty... Didn't see that one coming. Got it out, though. No harm done. Cat lived until he was 13.
There you
Probably
go.
Probably lived longer, if anything, as a result of me doing great party tricks that kept him happy in a really good mood. Okay, 133353 taking your calls.
Cats love party tricks.
Okay, drunk or a kid, we're playing.
Triple M's American Australia presents...
Photographed naked in an empty bathtub, wearing sunglasses, with a toothbrush in my mouth, holding a warm cup of milk.
Was I drunk? I get knocked out! Or was I a kid?
That's right, it's a challenge, Australia. Michael Robinson this afternoon. You tell us a story. We try to figure out whether or not you were just a child or if you were indeed a human drunk adult.
It's amazing how these stories can parallel each other.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
What's really embarrassing is when you think that you try to second guess it and you go, no, it must be the other. And they go, no, I was drunk. And you go, of course. Let's give it a crack. Let's roll off the production line with Helen. Hello, Helsey.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Really good. Great to have you on the show, Helsey. Kick it off.
Okay. I was at a house party. I wasn't feeling very well, so I went out the back to get some fresh air. And while I was sitting down, the host of the party came out and sat next to me to see how I was, and I threw up in his lap.
God. See, that could be too many hundreds and thousands, Mikey.
Oh, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Hang on. Was the spew fairy bread coloured? Doesn't seem to indicate.
Technicoloured yawn.
Oh, gee.
See, that could easily just be hundreds and thousands combined with cheezels and a bit of raspberry lemonade and blam.
Hey, that's
jumping around.
Yeah, jumping around.
On a trampoline.
Oh, yeah. To even know that it's a host,
There's a host.
I'm going to say drunk.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you, Mikey. Helen?
I was a kid.
That's exactly what I just described a moment ago, Helen. When you trick us.
Merrick, don't listen to me. Don't listen to me, Merrick.
But there's more.
Oh, yeah.
There's more. I also threw up in the car on the way home, and Dad had to scoop me up out of the car with it between my legs so as it didn't get on the car.
See, then I would have said that you were drunk as well.
Yeah. it's still working.
Yeah. Oh. Wow, what's that? You want to shoot it, Liam?
I pressed the wrong button. I apologize.
You reckon?
I was trying
you
to push
shoot
the
Helen?
I apologize.
It was a great story.
You're having a cracker, aren't you?
Wow. Thank you, Helsey. Let's move on to Darren. Hello, Dags.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Really good, mate. Drunk or a kid? Let's go.
Okay. At a birthday party, started getting cold, and one of the parents yells out, "I want any more firewood," and I put my hand up to chop the tree down,
God.
I did.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I mean, you said parents there, but that doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean anything, no.
Because taking an axe to a tree for kindling during a party is classic drunk act.
Oh, yeah.
I'd do that.
I've done that.
I'd do that to the house.
Oh, gee, I miss. Oh, mate. Mate, look, I made the wrong call last time. I'm going to let you make the first call this time, mate.
I'm going to go with kid, just back to back. I can't do kid. Kid,
okay,
Dags.
Okay. I'm with Mez there. Kid, mate.
No, drunk, boys.
Oh, no!
Oh, there's more to it.
Yeah,
more
please.
Of course there is.
Of course there is.
Of course there is. Helen, yeah, man, yeah. Helen.
The tree. What happened was that the tree was that big. It almost knocked over half the house.
Again, if like you and Helen, you have to give full disclosure first because I would have said drunk.
Oh man, that's last week we were 3 for 3.
Yeah, and we're not doing well.
No,
oh,
we're back to zeros now.
Oh, hopefully, selectors aren't around. I mean, it's not like the Australian cricket team. All right, okay, let's have a look at Robin. Hello, Robin.
Hello.
Tell us your story, and we'll try to decipher whether or not drunk or a kid.
Okay, we're out camping, and we'd had a flying fox set up from a winch on a car.
Oh.
And I was running and ducked down to go underneath the flying
cable.
Fox cable. Yeah. And as I've come up, I've collected it and burnt my eyebrow off.
Oh, so it hit you on the forehead?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good that it didn't get you under the chin because you garrot yourself, but that's still forehead
wow.
injury.
And it must be weird walking back into camp without eyebrows.
I mean, oh, yeah.
I'm for a
side. No. Just one.
I just one.
Just one eyebrow.
So you essentially rope burned with a metal cable, one eyebrow off.
And which meant you couldn't register your own surprise.
I'm going to go with kid. What do you think, Mikey?
I'm going to go drunk, actually.
All right. Well, let's see who wins this one, Robin.
Kid.
Boom! Oh! Yeah, all right.
I'm zeros. I should have gone with you, miss.
Bad day for me. Bad day for you, Mikey.
Bad day for you.
Not a great day for me on it, but Robin, terrible day for you because have you still only got one eyebrow?
No, it grew back. I'm good now.
Oh, that's a shame. Would have been great for the story.
Merrick has clocked off after another hard-working day.
People who work in radio have got it pretty tough.
For even more, subscribe to the Merrick and Australia podcast on iTunes or with your favourite Android app. Triple M.